You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome into At the Podium, episode 13.5, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. So we have three press conferences today, which is unusual. And if I can reference Jim Schwartz from today describing the run defense as 6-6, I made a 6-6 production mistake on episode 13 of At the Podium, where on the last press conference, which was supposed to be Doug's Tuesday presser, the audio pulled was actually his presser from right before the game. So to right that wrong, I've included the correct Doug Peterson post-game press conference from Tuesday into this episode, along with the usual suspects, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz and offensive coordinator Mike Rowe. So first up is Doug Peterson from Tuesday. It's already going to be kind of a long show, so let's get to it.
I'm ready.
Coming out of New Orleans, what did you see from the guys, and kind of what was your way of handling the situation and moving forward and making sure they were locked in?
Yeah, and we've talked about the New Orleans thing before, but listen, you know, the New Orleans deal was, I think for us as a team, it just it wasn't us, number one. It wasn't how we expect to play or expect to finish a football game in that game. And then, you know, so we've kind of put ourselves in a position where, you know, each game from then on really, really matters, you know, and just focusing in each week. And the guys have done a great job, during the week of practice, preparing themselves and understanding the game plan. And I think what you're seeing, too, is, you know, we had a lot of young guys. We had some injuries in that game and a lot of young guys play in that game. And what you're seeing now is those young guys getting a little more confident each week. Every time they're out there on the field defensively, and then the offense kind of catching a little bit of rhythm right now. And you know, it's been a good last couple of weeks, against two quality, you know, division opponents.
With everything that's kind of gone on offensively, to see what you guys have done the last 2 weeks, I mean, I know you've probably said it before that, you know, it was just a matter of time with all, you know, the injuries to start the season, Carson and Alshon. But, like, is this what you're seeing now? Like, is that kind of like the offense that you expected, and did it take longer than you thought?
Well, you'd like for it to start earlier, but I think you're still seeing – you know, flashes of it. I think the flashes are a little more consistent now. You know, it still wasn't perfect in the game yesterday. Still some mistakes that we need to clean up. And, you know, we had more opportunities to score, and we didn't do that, so – those are things we need to, you know, focus in on just a little bit. But I think what you're seeing now is the offense kind of coming together, rhythm. Obviously, it starts up front. I think the offensive line is playing at a high level right now, and you know, we kind of ride them. The running game has been consistent. We've gotten consistent play from Josh, obviously, and Corey, and then you know, Mixon Sproles in there yesterday. So. I think it's a little bit longer than expected, obviously, but, you know, as they say, you should be playing your best football down the stretch, and hopefully this is the spark that kind of gets us going.
What's the plan with Jason Peters yesterday?
What's the plan with Jernigan right now? Jernigan is, you know, he's doing okay. He's doing fine. He's still going to be in the mix, obviously. Would expect him to be available this week, and we'll see tomorrow when we get back on the field.
What happened to Jason Peters yesterday?
Yeah. He got rolled up. He's going to be okay. He's going to be day-to-day, but, yeah, he should be fine. Should be fine.
So maybe something that you have mentioned and your players have mentioned for a long time so far this season has been to get that fast start. Finally, you guys were able to get that last night. How much not only does that open up the rest of the offense, but just gives your guys the confidence that you're able to do that?
It's a lot of confidence moving forward. And it was really good to see, you know, last night to come out and put that drive together to start to, you know, the run and pass kind of ratio, and then eventually finish off with a score. You know, and it's just, it's things that offensively have just kind of missed. We've missed on a couple of things, whether it's execution or it could be, you know, play design by me or, you know, whatever the call. But just last night, things kind of came together. I think the guys have really, they've really kind of taken it upon themselves to, quite frankly, to kind of clean up a lot of things, you know, and spend more time. I want to say spend more time, but just focusing on the details, on the little things. And when you do that, great things are going to happen. So it's a confidence builder moving forward that we're capable of doing that.
Is it maybe a coincidence that the running game has been clicking the last 2 weeks, and it just so happens you guys won the last two games and scored more than 25 points the last two games?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it helps. You know, you have to run the ball. You got to have that balance. We had it again last night. Last 2 weeks, as you mentioned, it's been positive, and it opens up a little bit more in the play action world, and getting the quarterback out on the perimeter, getting Carson on the edge, and where he's been good at seeing the field, and it goes back to the offensive line. You know, how well are they controlling the line of scrimmage and starting there, and we started fast last night, and that's a positive in the big scheme of things.
What was the speed getting the screen game going yesterday?
I think just calling it and calling more of it, quite frankly. I felt like the screens the last couple of weeks have been big hitters for us. We had some opportunities again last night to have some big we had some big gains on them, but we could add even a couple more later in the game. So we just keep working. You know, again, part of that is coming off the run, coming off the play action pass, and utilizing some of the same formations. But yeah, it's a big part of what we're doing right now, and it's been working.
As a follow up to that, it seems in the backfield you found a good balance between Corey and Josh Adams. How do you mix Darren Sproles in without disrupting them?
Well, I think as you saw last night, you get him a few touches throughout the game. You know, and the thing is, you know, going into that game, I didn't want to put Darren out there right away necessarily, and give him a ton of reps. I just didn't, you know, I felt like Josh was doing a good job, Corey was doing a good job, and then let's mix Darren in, you know, where we can find him some work, and obviously, the run, the 14-yard run for the touchdown was one of his plays in the game, and it was well blocked, well executed, and it was really good for him to get in that game and kind of get banged around again, you know, from the physical aspect of it. And then to finish off that drive in the end zone, it's exciting for him and what he's kind of gone through this season.
Do you see him as more of a change of pace the rest of the way? Will
he
get more involved?
I mean, it's hard to say. You know, each week is, you know, it's like getting receivers involved. You know, you got one ball and, you know, just trying to get them all touches. But Darren's going to be a big part of us and the success, if you know, as we move forward, and we'll keep probably increasing more of his, you know, production as we go.
Doug, where'd you come down on the thought that Ertz is getting targeted too much, which apparently is felt at least partially in your locker room?
As long as we win the game. I mean, listen, he's a tremendous tight end, and he's doing some great things. And we know that he and Carson are on the, you know, on the same page right now. And I think one of the things too last night, you know, the ball got spread around quite a bit, and which was exciting to see and good to see. And I think that's that balance, that mix, even in the run game, that you got to have, even, you know, in the passing game, is have that mix. And listen, Zach's he's playing at an extremely high level right now. So bottom line, and I know everybody in that locker room, bottom line is they want to win the game. And however it gets done, we get it done.
Doug, what have you learned from your young DBs these last couple of weeks and the way they've kind of handled what happened in New Orleans and gotten better?
Yeah, I think you're seeing a little more confidence in these guys. I think, you know, I saw it in Rasul last night. You know, some of the plays he made, just not necessarily in the passing game, but in the run game, being able to come up and make some big plays. That play on that double pass, that reverse, was tremendous by him. And, you know, and that's the thing that's what confidence can bring. And You know, it's just giving those guys an opportunity and being in a position and just, again, just trusting the scheme, understanding the defense, being in a position and not doing any more than that. You know, you don't have to go looking for plays. Plays are going to come your way when they do make them, and that's what you're starting to see with these young guys.
The entire offensive line seemed to play well last night, but a lot of your success seemed to be based on Jason Kelce's ability to block downfield. What advantage does his speed and power give you downfield?
You know, anytime that a defense, wants to uncover the center with either two techniques or three techniques or whatever it is, or it allows for Jason to use his strength. One of his strengths is his speed and quickness and agility down the field. And even on that touchdown to Darren, I mean, you see him get out in space and get up on the linebacker and run his man basically down to the five. And then he ended up taking another guy out. So, I mean, this guy, and then even on the interception, his hustle down the field to be a part of that tackle. I mean, this guy, you talk about an unselfish player. He does a lot of things well. And, again, he's another one that just wants to win. But his ability to get in space is pretty incredible.
How did you make the decision to keep the day off this week, even though it's a short week? And how far do you think that goes with your players? How much do they appreciate the rest in the situation?
Well, as it was last week, you know, a long week, and you had a little extra time to rest and heal up. This is a much shorter week for us. So, you know, today, giving them today, obviously, you know, typically we'd bring them in, but you just can't do that. You got to give them a day off, and then give them tomorrow morning. Give them as much time as they can, you know, to get in here, get treatment, get added rest, recover, so we can put in another good work week. But they appreciate that, because they tell me about that stuff, you know, that they appreciate the time.
You mentioned the offensive flash is coming more consistently, but you're still not quite everything you want to be offensively. Can you go through that sequence down at the goal line that ended with the 4th and 1? There were several plays there that just didn't do much.
Well, we didn't score. I mean, that's the downside. We didn't score. We had an opportunity. We had several, you know, drives that kind of stalled down there. But trying to go through it again. I know we ended up – we ran the ball a couple of times. The last one was just a failure to communicate up front. And we just missed a block on the perimeter. Not saying it would have got us in the end zone, but it would have given us a better opportunity down there. You know, I look back at it and, you know, maybe could have put Carson on the move. You can speculate the whole thing, but it was part of our game plan to have that play in. We just failed to execute on that last play. Something we'll fix, and given another opportunity, we'll be better the next time.
You mentioned that the offense was able to have so many guys involved last night. I'm curious, how much of that is play calling, and how much of that is just...
That's all play calling. It's all play calling. No. It's kind of a product of the offense. When things are clicking, as they were last night, everybody gets involved. And you know, your quarterback has confidence in the game plan. He loves the game plan, and he just continues to execute. And as quarterbacks, our job basically is to put the ball in our playmakers' hands. And we did that last night, and that was a positive thing. And then, you know, guys were able to, you know, I think on 1st and 2nd down was the key. And then we created, you know, some 3rd down opportunities where, you know, it's 7-13, but really 7-12 if you take the last one out where we knelt, you know, at the end of the game. So guys did a great job on 3rd down. But, yeah, the more guys you get involved, I think it's puts a little more pressure on defense.
Jalen, Avante, and Jordan, any chance those guys are back for Sunday?
Jordan Hicks is still – he's getting close. He's going to be more day-to-day. We'll see as the week goes with him. I don't want to, you know, put anything on him right now. Jalen Mills is probably a little bit further away. And Avante Maddox, again, he's close. He's going to be day-to-day this week as well.
Looks like you're going to get Avante Maddox back this week. Is he a safety this week or a corner?
Yeah, we'll cross all those bridges when we get there. We got to be prepared to get guys back, and we also have to be prepared if they don't make it back.
The run defense has been a big point of emphasis, obviously. You had the 90-yard run, not much otherwise. Your overall assessment of how the run defense did?
6-6.
In that game?
A win. And I mean, yeah, I mean, you know me. I mean, yeah, it was 28-13. That's where our run defense was. Every game, our only objective is to win. Now, we have, we particularly in that game, we knew with backup quarterback in the game and then with the third string quarterback that the run game was going to be a key part of getting to 28-13 or just getting to that W, however you do it. You know, so, you know, there were some good things. Obviously, that 90-yarder wasn't a good thing. You know, when you give up a long run, it's very rarely one person's, you know, mistake. You can give up a long pass and it just be one guy. You know, everybody can do something right. One guy trips and falls down or one guy miscommunicates and you can look really bad on a pass by one guy. It's hard to look really bad on a run unless you get mistakes at all three levels. And what we did on that play, mistake on the D-line, mistake at the linebacker, and then missed tackle on the back end. And that's where you end up. But I was proud of the guys, the way that they rallied behind that. They didn't let one bad play become another. And, you know, so I've been in that position before. I think it was 2013. I was in Detroit. We opened the season with Minnesota with Adrian Peterson. He was just coming off leading the NFL and rushing. And our whole game plan was getting him stopped. Very first play to season was an 80-yard touchdown. And it was the same thing. Make one guy gets out of his gap, makes another guy miss, and then runs past everybody else. And I think that game also, I mean, he had 80 on one play, and then we held him to like, you'd have to look it up, but we held him to like 95 or something like that. It was similar. But I was proud of the guys, the way they bounced back from that, because I think that limiting the run game, not just with him, but with Chris Thompson, who I have a lot of respect for as a back, I think that obviously was where we were in that game and got us to where we were in that game.
What's it like on the sideline after a play like that? Do you have to consciously guard against a play like that, kind of turning the tide?
No, I think our guys kept their confidence. I mean, it's one thing when you don't know what the problem is. That was an easy one. I mean, it's like, okay, that. All right, well, don't do that, and we're good. I mean, sometimes that's easier said than done. But I think that, it, you know, when you're talking about sideline and you're talking about the, you know, the confidence of a team and stuff like that, it's a lot easier for those guys to put mistakes behind them when they know what they were. And, you know, that there was some physical nature to those mistakes, but it was also some execution stuff. And those are a little bit easier to put behind you.
This is the third straight week you'll face an elite back. How does Elliott differ from Barkley and Peterson?
Yeah, they're all really good in their own rights. You know, Elliott is just so strong. He's hard to tackle one-on-one. He has enough speed that he can get to the edge and he can create big plays, but he's so strong. They're not very complicated in the run game. They don't need to be. Just sort of hand him the ball, and even if there's an extra guy, he can run through him or make him miss. He's also really increased his load as his career's gone on in the passing game also. He's a dangerous screen runner. You have to account for him. He's obviously one of the best backs in the league. And if we're going to come out with a win, we're going to have to get him stopped.
What's most the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, understatement.
Excuse me?
Understatement.
Without getting – obviously you're not going to give us your game plan for Sunday, but what goes into your thinking of game planning in terms of how much you are going to use it and how much you aren't?
You know, I mean, it depends on offense. It depends on you know, we had some blitz called in that game, and there was protections that, you know, sort of got us out of them, or the quarterback took a timeout on a couple of them. You know, I mean, I think we might have blitzed like three times in the last 2 weeks, one of which was a 90-yard touchdown run, and another one was like a 50-yard pass. So, you know, you try to manage the game, and you try to sort of find a formula for what you're – you know, what you're best at that week. You know, and honestly, that's sort of been a challenge for us sort of these last half a dozen games or so, because particularly in the back end, we've had a different cast almost every single week. And as soon as you start getting a feel as a play caller, okay, this is what we can execute and this is what's good for our matchups, you have another injury, and the next week it's a little bit different. And you sort of start over again trying to find that. But that's sort of where we are right now. I think the other part that goes into that is our D-line has done a good job of pressuring, and they've done a good job of getting pressure without blitzing. And when you can do that, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to subject your secondary to more, more one-on-ones and a heavier load when, than those guys could. You know, one of the games we blitzed the most in was Jacksonville. And one of the reasons we blitzed a lot was the field was bad and we really couldn't generate our four-man pass rush the way that we normally do. Each game's different. Every opponent's different. And then, obviously, for us this year, the guys we're playing with have been different. So we just got to find a formula each week. What we did last week might not be what we do this week.
Confidence of the team on a particular play and bouncing back with Adrian. With a player, and I say this about Rasul on the throwback, and he made that great play when it looked like Chris Thompson had a ton of space. How can that affect an individual player's confidence?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it does go both ways. The more plays you make, the more confidence you have, and probably the freer you play when you're on the field. That was a big play for us. You know, I don't know that it would have gone the distance. I mean, you look at the play. We have guys that, you know, when he threw it back, they're coming, but it was probably going to be a pretty good chunk of a gain right there. Rasul did his job on that play. He was the last line of defense and was able to get, a tough back. And he also had to defeat Trent Williams, who's obviously one of the best blockers. That was a huge play for us. At a critical point of that game, they're able to get that, keep that drive alive and score. All of a sudden, it's a one-score game. So, obviously, that was a big play, and he can build off of that.
What stands out to you about the way the Cowboys have played offensively the last three or four games?
They're not a one-trick pony. They're getting good production out of their quarterback. The quarterback has taken a proactive stance when it comes to scrambling for first downs. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving game, the New Orleans game. I mean, there were a couple plays that he made critical first downs when it didn't look like he had anything. We've already talked about Ezekiel Elliott. I think that, I think at 19 certainly, added to their passing game. So, it's one of those teams. You put too much emphasis on Ezekiel Elliott, all of a sudden Cooper's making a lot of plays down the field, or Beasley's making a lot of plays on the third down game. If you don't account for the quarterback, he has the ability to move, and even if you get everybody else covered. So I think that's probably been the biggest thing that's come out of the last couple of weeks. They've been playing at an efficient level.
When you look back at the film and your last game with the Cowboys just a few weeks ago, what's the biggest thing that you can pull from
it? Every game's a little bit different. You know, I mean, there's always going to be plays you can play better and schemes that you can scheme a little bit better. The biggest part of that game is we just weren't happy with the way we finished the game. I think we had given up like 13 points into the fourth quarter and then gave up two touchdowns at the end. That's never where you want to be, and that's one thing that we're going to come out of this game. It's got to be a little bit more like the last couple weeks for us. You know, there's going to be some plays that opponents are going to make. That's life in the NFL. But, the teams that win, the teams that, that are successful are those teams that are making those plays at the end of the game. And when we have, we've won. When we haven't, some of those games like, Dallas or go back to Carolina and some of those, when we haven't made those plays, we haven't won. So it can't just be early in the game. We have to be able to come up with those plays in the fourth quarter. And, when we do, like the Rasul play, all of a sudden it puts us in a position to win.
In a situation like that Monday when there's an injury in Jernigan's case after the 46 is set, what changes from your perspective?
Yeah, awesome. you're just playing a player light, and it's something also that you didn't plan for. Really no different than getting a player hurt on the first play of the game. I mean, that happens a bunch of times. I mean, there are players that you lose in pregame. The Giants lost Ingram in pregame. You got to plug next guy in, and then you also have to look, different packages, how you're going to play and stuff like that. Timmy's an important part. I think getting him back a couple weeks ago gave us a big boost. We were looking forward to more of that. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to go in this last game.
You mentioned Dak's ability to run. He's been doing it more. At times this year, you guys have given up chunks to quarterbacks on the ground. What's the key to stopping that?
Yeah, there's a lot of different levels. First of all, quarterbacks generally aren't running very much if you're doing a poor job of covering. So, you know, it sounds a little bit funny to say that, but, you know, sometimes, I mean, if they got guys wide open all the way, the quarterback isn't bothering to scramble. So, you know, when you do get guys covered, then you need to be good in different levels, good eyes on the quarterback, good distribution in your pass rush, and then be able to close ground and be able to get guys on the ground. So there's a lot of different layers to it.
How have you been able to adjust that linebacker? You got, you know, Jordan out the last couple of games. You got two other guys playing with, you know, cast some of their bones and stuff like
awesome.
That. You know, I guess Nathan obviously had the big interception, but, you know, has that changed, like, how you view those decisions?
Yeah, you know, when we put guys on the field, we feel like they can do their job. And obviously they're a little bit hindered, but, you know, that's the way it is in the NFL. You know, they have enough for use of their hand that they can wrap up and they can tackle. We wouldn't be comfortable putting a guy out there that we didn't think could do their job. And all those guys we put out there, we think they can do their job. Nate Gary has, stepped in and played more Mike linebacker for us. He's a good communicator, made a big play when it counted in this game. You know, so that's what this is all about. Last year, we were able to overcome when we lost Jordan for a little bit. And, you know, the challenge doesn't change just because it's a different year.
That's kind of what I was going to ask. Is there anything you do differently if you have two linebackers with one hand? Do you think about anything, would it take you out of anything you would normally do?
No. I mean, I think that, like I said, I wouldn't even classify those guys as one hand. I don't know if you guys saw when we were in London, Camus came out after he had got his thumb injured, and he had like a giant club on his hand. And even though the situation, because they were just playing all three wide receiver personnel, we had made the decision to go with Leroy in that spot for the second half because we just didn't feel like, you know, Camus could go in there and execute what we needed to be able to execute. The next week he had sort of the half cast and was able to go. So, again, some things are a little bit different. If you remember, we played these guys last time. Camus had a chance to get an interception, and probably without that cast, I mean, Camus is a great athlete and has great hands. That might be a pick six, and that might change that game. So, you know, it's not ideal, but again, if a guy can't do his job, we're not comfortable putting him on the field, and we felt comfortable putting those guys on the field.
Why did you guys tackle better on Monday night?
I really don't know that we did. I think that we played better team defense, and when you play better team defense, you look like better tacklers. I think that had a lot to do with it. 90-yard play, notwithstanding or withstanding, because we didn't play good team defense on that play. But I said a long time, there's an individual component to tackling, and there's a team component. Knowing the other guys, knowing where everybody else is going to be, knowing when you can take a shot, when you can't. And there's a lot of times where somebody might miss a tackle that you don't even notice because the next guy's there half a second later, and makes the play right there. So I think there was probably a little bit of that that went into it. I think our corners did tackle better than they have been. I think we still have there's still some improvement we can make there also.
Distribution in the pass rush. Do you have to put more emphasis on that in weeks where there is a mobile quarterback? Does that affect stunts and things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, there's some times where you can get a little bit more aggressive in your ability, and some quarterbacks that aren't as much of a threat to run. I mean, we've seen some of those. There's other ones that are threats to run, but there's also a fine line between that and not rushing at all. And we can keep just about any quarterback we want in the pocket, but the question or the price would be, all those guys sort of like being cautious and keeping him from running at the expense of being able to get pressure. So there is a there's a fine line between those two things, and we want to push it as close to that edge as we can without making ourselves susceptible to quarterbacks that move the sticks. Really, the biggest things with scrambles are scrambles that equate for that translate to a first down. You know, if they're scrambling and not moving the sticks, it's really not moving the needle as far as the game goes. But if they're able to move the sticks, like Prescott has done in a couple key situations over the last few weeks, that's where it can affect the defense. All right, guys.
Working better with the offense these last couple of weeks. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think there's a level of comfort that you know, we've gotten into a little bit of a groove, and obviously the offensive line is playing really well, and we've been able to run the ball efficiently the last couple weeks, which has, opened a lot of other things up.
What's been the
key? I don't know if there's one thing. You know, it's just like a lot of these questions. There's never just one thing, but we've had, guys have done a good job. I think we put some good plans together, and then guys have done a good job getting themselves open. Done a good job protecting Carson back there, and he's been able to find the right guy, make good decisions, and throw the ball accurately. And, like you said, we were really good on third down the other night. Statistically, 54%, but we had the one kneel down at the end of the game. So it was even better than that. So we were able to stay on the field, sustain drives, and, we had a lot more production as a result.
Now, with Kelsey's athletic ability, how much does that allow you to kind of be a little bit more creative with your play calling?
Yeah, he's a special center, unique from an athletic standpoint, like you talk about, and being able to get on the perimeter. And, that's a lot of fun for those linemen when they get a chance to get out there and run and make those blocks out in the open field. And, he got a lot of credit and was highlighted for it, and as he should have been. It was a heck of a block or two blocks on that play for him to be able to get that done. So, he knows how much we think of him here. He's a special guy. He's a special leader. He obviously does a great job of communicating a lot of things that we get done up front, and as a result of the way he plays and communicates with everybody up front.
When you say highlighted, did you kind of show it in the team meeting?
No, I saw it on TV where they did a spotlight on him and everything. So I think it's pretty cool.
Dallas, they obviously added Chris Richard in the offseason. How similar is that scheme to the Seattle's and the Atlanta's, those single high defenses?
Yeah, but you see a lot of the same elements that when you're playing those teams, like you talk about Seattle or LA Chargers or the Atlanta Falcons, San Francisco, all those guys that are from that Pete Carroll tree that are running this style of defense. So you're seeing a lot of those things starting to show up.
Like his number, Carson's numbers on Monday when he was on the move were very effective. Do you see anything as you're looking at it as to why that's happening, and do you think you can exploit that a little more?
Well, we had some of them were by design, and others were just Carson being Carson, which we know, he's got that kind of ability to be able to escape a pocket and keep his eyes downfield and make a play, and guys did a good job of extending the play with him, and, we were able to, get some big plays out of it. So, we've always known that he's capable of doing that, and that makes it really hard on the defense.
Mike, the screens worked really well against Washington. What's the key to making those things work?
Timing is critical, and really getting them started. I mean, you got to get the line out, and they got to get the first guy. And if you can get the first guy, usually you get, once you get in the second level, you got a chance for a big play. And I think the timing was really good on it the other day. We were able to get a couple of those things started. Corey's doing a really nice job with them after the catch, in some cases, breaking a tackle or making a guy miss. And so, we're getting good mileage out of them right now. Doug's doing a good job of calling them at opportune times, too.
Following up on that question, though, their linebackers have been very effective and were effective in defending you guys in the screen game in the game a month ago. Does that change in any way?
Going to Dallas now.
Dallas game. Does that change in any way the way you would call screens or how often you would call them as you face them?
Well, we've got a lot of respect for them on defense. Their linebackers are extremely fast. They flow hard to the ball. So we've got to come up with some creative ways to try to, keep those things alive in the game plan.
Throw down the field on the first drive to Golden Tate when the play kind of broke down. Carson was kind of directing him to get downfield. Is that a chemistry thing, a communication thing, or is that something you guys just practice?
No, you can't practice that. Yeah, that's just two guys making a play, guys that are two good football players out there making a play. And to be drifting out there to his left and be able to throw that ball a touch over the defender, drop it right in there, and Golden, you know, to be able to continue up the sideline. That was a really good play.
Do you think in general, though, that you guys kind of found a comfort level now with Golden as far as, you know?
Well, I think every day that passes that he's here, you know, I think everybody gets more comfortable. I think that's only natural, you know. And he's done a really good job since he's been here. He's a very good football player, and, you know, he makes us better. So, yeah, we're excited to have him here and what he can do here this next month.
This is a place where Carson does, and your receivers have to improvise like that. You know, how often would you say that kind of happens in a game? I know it's different each week, and can that be the difference in the game?
Yeah, well, you see plays that are off schedule. You know, there's opportunities for big plays. You know, coverage, guys drop their coverage. They bring their eyes back to the quarterback. They lose the guy they're on. You know, zone coverages get distorted. So, you know, we preach to the guys that, you know, these are opportunities for big plays. And the quarterback that we have, we know can extend plays. I can get himself out of trouble and get out there and throw it accurately down the field. So, you know, the play's never over as long as Carson's got the ball in his hand.
Seeing from the outside looking in that the old line's been real productive for you these past 2 weeks, what do you attribute that to?
I don't know if there's just one thing to attribute it to. They played together a long time, and I think they just kind of found their groove a little bit. And we've been persistent with the run game. Josh has done a really good job of, you know, understanding, you know, who to read on each one of these runs. Guys are doing a heck of a job of creating lanes, and if there's not a lane there, there's been enough times where the backs have done a good job of creating on their own and getting more out of it than you might have thought initially. So I think it's a combination of things. You know, Nelson did a really good job at the point of attack on all of those runs the other night. So collectively as a group, I think we understand the run game plan well and are blocking it efficiently.
As a follow-up, it's no secret you had some injuries there on the O-line at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year. Are you seeing the benefit of the healthy group, would you say?
Yeah, I think anytime there's continuity, then – you got a chance to be more efficient. We've had some continuity at the O-line position. Now continuity at, you know, really all the skill positions as well. And, you know, guys can kind of get in the groove.
You ran a few more plays under center against Washington. Maybe other than Jacksonville, I can't think of a game where you played a higher percentage that way. What goes into that decision? Why were the circumstances right to do that more against Washington?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to say that. Being that we have to play him again, so I wouldn't want to divulge that information. But yeah, again, there's some factors that we study based on the way the defense aligns. So I guess that's about all I say on that.
Mike, what jumps out at you as you watch the Cowboys and what they've done defensively?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the beginning.
What jumps out at you as you watch the Cowboys?
Well, obviously their front four is putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They got a really good pass rush unit. This unit flies around. They all run the ball. They're a really good tackling unit, and they're covering well, playing a lot of man coverage and covering well. And so I think they're playing very confidently right now, and they have good players. They got a lot of team speed. So, you know, they were top five defense the last time we played them. So, we got a lot of respect for them on defense.
Jim just said that every game is different. It seems like there's a different flow to this offense. It seems like there's a different flow to the Cowboys defense. How much does that play into your play calling going into that game? Yeah, this didn't work last time, but things have changed, sort of things. Like re-examining plays that didn't work in the past meeting.
I guess I don't really understand your question.
Basically, do you throw out plays that didn't work in the first matchup? Or do you re-examine how they would work now?
Yeah, when you play people twice, you know, there's plays in every game plan that going in, you have them in for a sound reason. Obviously, you believe that they're going to work. And then you see, you know, maybe they adjusted differently than you might have expected and say, you know what, maybe that's not as good a play going forward. Then there's other plays that, you know, fit the scheme that you're playing against and you got to try to present a new way to do it. So, you know, that's a balance that you try to have every time you play, you know, your divisional opponents.
Carson's interception in the red zone last week, just what you see on film, or what's kind of the coaching point?
Yeah, I mean, Carson played a great game, and he made a bunch of really, really good plays in that game, and that's one of the reasons why we won. I know that that's one play that we all like to have back, so we'll get back out there this week and get to work on that, and hopefully correct that issue.
The other one, just the throw to Aguilar down the as he was down the sideline, he overshot him there a little bit. When you went back and watched that, what happened on that play?
He overthrew him.
Footwork issue, anything from his end, or just missed?
Yep.
I was just going to ask one other thing related to this week. They've obviously known they're going to play you guys since Thursday night to Friday, but preparing for you guys. You guys are on a short week. How do you negate or handle that advantage? Because it seems like it would be one for them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what their schedule was, but usually when you have those Thursday games, you get a little extra time off. So from a preparation standpoint, the coaches have had more time to prepare for us, but the players will probably have about the same amount as they would on a normal week. We've got a little bit less time, so we got to try to cram a little bit more in less time. And we've had these short weeks before and perform really well. So that's just the nature of the NFL schedule. And everybody has these weeks. Obviously, we know this is an important game, and I think our guys will be ready and do whatever it takes to be prepared to play well.
If I can ask a question from my past life viewers. You know Amari Cooper probably as well as anyone in this building. What makes him special?
Well, he just has unique, I think, speed, quickness, and acceleration for the position. I mean, he can stick his foot in the ground and change direction and accelerate as fast away from anybody as I've ever seen. So, I think, he threatens those DBs in a hurry. And for that reason, they either, are scared to get up and bump them, or they play way off. So, they know he can go the distance at any time.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Karis Fisher. I want to tell you about another podcast you should check out. It's called Recode Decode. Every week, I talk to tech and media's key players about how they're changing our world. I interview tech executives like Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, political figures like Hillary Clinton, and media personalities like John Carreyrou, who literally wrote the book on Theranos. Once again, the name of the show is Recode Decode, hosted by me, Karis Fisher. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. See you there.